started, the last time I preached, I started a three-part series on having the mind of Christ. And last time I talked about having the mind of Christ toward God. And this time I want us to think about having the mind of Christ toward others. This is a huge, huge subject. They're just... I barely scratched the surface here this morning in thinking about this, but I do recognize that this is a message that I need. It's not, when I share this morning, I don't want to come across to you as preaching at you. I'm sharing something with you that I see, as a need in my own life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's say that verse together. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's just ask ourselves, who are others? When I use the term others, who is that?
Anyone that's not me.
Anybody but me, right? So there's others in my family. There's others in my church. There's others in my work. There's others in my world. There's others is huge. Okay? So when we start thinking about others, I want us to think about this. What was the mind of Christ toward others? That's me. That's you. What is the mind of Christ toward us? Tony already commented on the song, how God bends down so far to come to us. And Jesus had that same mind to come to earth and to become a man for our redemption. So when we start thinking about this thing about others, you can see it's just got so many places that it reaches to. It doesn't, it doesn't start and stop just in a lot of places. It goes and goes and goes and goes. How does the mind of Christ change my relationships? How does having the mind of Christ? If I were to have the mind of Christ totally, what would that change in my relationships with others? I remember so clearly when the Lord was really working in my heart at one point. And I was driving down the road, just close here, and as I was driving, the Lord was speaking to my heart about my own issues and my own life. And as I was driving, all of a sudden it struck me, you know what? I don't even care about my neighbors and those around me, others. I honestly had to admit that I wasn't really burdened for them. They were there. I knew they were there. Hi, whatever. But I had no burden for them. Is that the mind of Christ? No. The mind of Christ is burdened towards everyone. We care about everyone. So how does that change my relationships? I think it's an important question for us to ask. And we can take that question and flip it around a little bit and say, you know what? If I'm having difficulty in relationships, is there an issue with how I'm thinking? Am I not having the mind of Christ? So, these are, like I said, this gets pretty heavy. It gets It starts reaching. This gets down totally into where we live. Is anybody excluded from this others? Having the mind of Christ toward others. Is there a group of people in my world that I need to have the mind of Christ toward, and another group of people that, you know, they don't count. I don't need the mind of Christ toward them. Is that how it works? In theory, no. In practicality, yes. Would you agree? We all know that, yeah, we're supposed to have the mind of Christ toward everyone. But when I get into a business situation and somebody's taking advantage of me or things are not happening the way I want them to happen, what happens to the mind of Christ working in me then? What happens to that relationship? All of a sudden, practically speaking, there's another group of others, right? That are not included in this thing of the mind of Christ. Can others see that I have the mind of Christ? You know, we can start right at home. Can my wife, my family, see that I have the mind of Christ? Or are they wondering what's going on with me? And then we can come to the church. Can the church, can my fellow believers that I worship with and fellowship with from time to time, can they see that I have the mind of Christ? Or are they thinking, what's up with this guy? Something going on here. He's just not where he needs to be. Okay. What is my checklist? Okay, if I'm asking myself, do I have the mind of Christ toward others? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and we're bringing it practically toward others. What's my checklist to tell if I have the mind of Christ toward others? Well, I prayed for them, and I did this nice deed for them, and you know, we might have a checklist, and you know, we've got those all checked off, so we're good. Well, we might ask ourselves, what's God's checklist? How does God look at us and see if we have the mind of Christ toward others? There's three areas that I want us to look at this morning of how we relate toward others, to others. And I think they're pretty interesting areas, but I want us to, there's a quote I came across that I think really applies here. Because one of the things about us is we, as people, all people are selfish. And humanly, we tend to do things so that we receive something, right? The mind of Christ is not that way. And this quote says, an act of kindness done with the intent to obligate a person to be indebted to them for that act is no act of kindness. See what he's saying? He says, if I'm being kind to Craig because I want him to be indebted to me because of what I've done, that's not an act of kindness at all. That's selfishness. Okay? A true act of kindness will never leave you feeling indebted to, but endeared to a person. And I think that has a lot to do with the mind of Christ. Are we looking to make people indebted to us, or are we looking to have people be endeared to us? The three areas that I want us to think about this morning is loving others, serving others, and encouraging others. There's so much that could be said. And you know what? These three areas are probably areas that we'd all say are having the mind of Christ toward others. But how does that work out in life? What's it look like? When I say I have the mind of Christ, how does that look like in my love toward others? You know, it's a wonderful thing to say I love everybody, right? I mean, you know, I don't hate anybody. You know, there's some people that I just can't stand, but I don't hate anybody. It's just because they're disgusting. That's all. So, you know, we start playing some games here with ourselves. And I want us to just stop and just get real with this thing of what does it mean to have the mind of Christ toward others? And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was the old way, okay? Oh, I like that. You know, I can pick my neighbors and the rest of the people I can hate. But he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Who are your enemies? You say, I don't have enemies. Well, sure you do. They're the people that rub you the wrong way. The people that you tend to react to. Those would come under the classification of enemies. Jesus says, I'm telling you, love your enemies. This is the mind of Christ. Jesus is sharing his heart. He's giving to us what his view, what his thought process is. And he's saying, as my children, I want you to adopt this thought process. I want you to adopt not only the thought process, but I want you to adopt the lifestyle that goes along with this thought process. So love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, that you can think like your Father. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. When the sun comes up in the morning, it comes up on the whole population. It doesn't just come up for those that are serving God. And he makes his rain to go on the just and the unjust. That's our God. Now, we're being called to love others with the mind of Christ. In Matthew 19, this rich young ruler, this struck me. There's something interesting here. The rich young ruler, remember he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what do I need to do yet? And Jesus said, well, you need to keep the law. And here's what Jesus said. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's the neighbor? Others, right? And the young man said to him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What was the young man's problem? You remember what Jesus did? Jesus told the young man, he said, you need to sell what you have and give to the poor and then come follow me. What was Jesus saying to this young man? Had he kept all that from his youth up? He hadn't killed anybody. He hadn't committed adultery. He hadn't done all these things. What was the problem with the young man? He did not love his neighbor as himself. How did that work out in his life? It gets uncomfortable here. It really does. Everything was for him, right? He worked hard. It was his money. He could say how it was going to be spent. He could say what was going to be done with it. And what happened with this young man? He went away sorrowful because he was very rich. What was the problem? He didn't have the mind of Christ at all, did he? Not at all. That says he went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. Well, why did he go away sorrowful? I mean, it was so simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. What was Jesus trying to tell him? He was saying, have the mind of Christ toward others. I don't have this verse up here, but John says, if we have this world's goods and we see our brother have need and we shut our compassion toward him, the love of Christ is not in our hearts toward others. I mean, you know, like I said, it gets uncomfortable here. We can talk all day long about loving others, but unless it gets practical and real down into our pocketbook and into our lifestyle, it's all talk. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love others like yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, you say, well, okay. But here's the words of Jesus to his disciples in John 13:35. By this, we can talk all day long about our creed, we can talk all day long about our practice, we can talk all day long about all kinds of things. But here's what Jesus says. This is the mind of Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus, Howard? What's it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? We're a follower. And what does that mean then? We become like Him. We start to think like Him, don't we? And when we think like Him, we act like Him. Here's what He says. Here's how all men, here's how others are going to know that you're my disciples if you have love for others. Ooh. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we have difficulty convincing people that Christianity is a good thing. Because they look at us and they say, oh, you talk about love a lot, but I don't see much of it. It's not coming out. Okay? So this is, and again, I'm not pointing fingers. This is for me. This is something that we as a people have not taken as seriously as we should. We need to have love for others. And that needs to be shown in practical, everyday ways. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of room for improvement right here in this room, starting with me. In our families, among ourselves. And when we start to show the mind of Christ in those relationships, the world around us, the others around us, are going to sit up and take notice, and they're going to desire something. They're going to want it. Remember what they said about the disciples? It said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? They were showing the mind of Christ, right? That was coming out. It was something they were experiencing and they were passing on. And so it was important. It was important for them and it's important for us. Okay, we love others, we serve others. Now, why do we serve others? Why do we serve others? Humanly speaking, why do we serve others? Because we want to be served, right? If I serve long enough and hard enough, then I'll get served. That's the human, what's Christ's thought? What's the mind of Christ in relation to serving others? For the glory of God, right? Lay down his life for others. And when we went through love and respect, that's where love and respect ends up at. The husband loves with all his heart whether he gets any response or not. And the wife respects with all her heart whether she gets any response or not. Then you're doing it as unto the Lord. Well, you see, this whole thing of others, I'm sorry, I'm speaking out of experience, it ends up being about me. It's not about others at all, so often, until we have the mind of Christ, and we begin to understand, we begin to think like Him, and we begin to flesh out His life in us, we're serving ourselves. In Luke 10, verses 30 to 37 there, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, what was the problem in the story of the Good Samaritan? What was the number one problem? Okay, the number one problem was themselves, right? The number two problem was he was an other. One of them others, the Samaritan. Now, just stop and think about this. Here we are, we're walking down the street. Right? What happens when we go when we're watching people? What happens when we're thinking about others? You know, this is part of bringing our thoughts into obedience to Christ. How I think about others is important. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ, I'm going to look at others and I'm going to say, that person has needs. They need the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart. They need the love of Jesus shown to them. They need. And I am willing to serve. Have you ever prayed, God, how can I serve this person or how can I serve these people? No, you know what we usually pray for those people? God, change them. Change them. Lord, they need help. Well, am I willing to serve? I think that's important. Here was a Samaritan. The guy was almost dead. In fact, they took him for dead. The priest and the Levite passed by on the other side. Kind of interesting. Here's other, but they go to the other side rather than dealing with the other. But Jesus asked them this question. They say, well, who was the neighbor? And Jesus told this story in response to the question about who is my neighbor? Who are the others that I can affect? Jesus said, asked the question, he said, who was the one that was really the neighbor? And they answered him, they said, the one that showed mercy on him, right? The one that showed mercy. He was the neighbor. The one that expressed the mind of Christ toward that man that was laying there in trouble. What do? I rationalize. Oh, there's cops and there's, you know, if they really need help, they probably have a cell phone, you know. And we just clear our path of others. I think we need to stop and think about this whole area of having the mind of Christ in serving others. How do I feel if my day gets messed up because somebody else has a need? Am I mumbling and grumbling under? You know, I'm too spiritual to say anything to anybody else, you know, but under my breath and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, no, I just can't do this. No. Or am I serving willingly and gladly and with joy in my heart? I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 16. Brethren, you've been called to liberty. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Oh, man. You talk about a mouthful. He's talking about being led of the Spirit. He's talking about walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. He's talking about having the mind of Christ in serving others. And Jesus put it down pretty plainly. I mean, you have to do a fancy dance to get around this. Matthew 5, 40 and 45. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And inasmuch as you have not done it unto one of the least of these, you have not done it unto me. If you've served, whoever you've served, it's like serving me. And if you refuse to serve others, you're refusing to serve me. That's pretty heavy. You know, we say, oh, Lord, I mean, if you were here, I'd do anything you wanted. He says, you do that through serving others. Lastly, I want us to look at encouraging others. We have the opportunity, and I know it takes effort. I know it's not natural with most of us. And I know from experience, Nelson, it's a lot easier to tear things down than it is to build them, isn't it? I mean, you can have a house that took months to build. You can go in there with a couple machines or a couple sledgehammers, and it does not take long at all, and that house is destroyed. And when it comes to others, it is so easy. It is so natural to intimidate, to discourage, to blow others apart, to criticize, to do everything but encourage. And we have the privilege. What does encouragement do to you? It lifts you up. It builds you up. It gives you strength. It motivates you. It gives us joy. Encouragement does that. We have that opportunity with others, starting in our home, starting in our church, and reaching out beyond. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how many of you have had the experience of being in a business place, a place where you don't even expect the name of God to come up. And somebody comes in and they've got a attitude of joy and blessing, and they say words of encouragement, and you leave that place and your day is just altogether different. We have that opportunity. In fact, we have that responsibility. The mind of Christ to encourage others, to lift others, to build others up. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Lift up, encourage each other. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, where He got His mind from, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Tribulations discourage us, right? He's saying God comforts us in our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort others also. Encourage others. God gives us strength. He gives us courage and encouragement so that we can encourage others. That's part of our responsibility. And here in Philippians chapter 2, the very first verse, he says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. He says, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ. Then he goes on and says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Does that sound encouraging? Absolutely it does. You want to start a ministry of blessing that you'll receive abundant blessing from, start a ministry of encouragement. And I'm glad for that ministry in our congregation and those that are involved in it. It's a blessing. And to be encouraged. We need that. Every one of us needs it. And we all need to be involved in it. And we can have, you know, when you leave a place, whether it's your home or whether it's your church or whether it's a business place, a workplace, when you leave a place, are people lifted up or are they down? Are they discouraged because you were there? Or are they encouraged because you were there or I was there? That's a challenge. If I have the mind of Christ, I will be one that encourages. And so we have these three areas, and they're practical, everyday, down-to-earth areas. What does the mind of Christ, and this all ties in totally with this whole theme of working together. It's going to be really hard to work together with someone that's constantly criticizing, constantly discouraging, constantly down. But if we can encourage each other, it makes it so much easier to work together. And so much more is accomplished. And so I'd just like us to think about, we sing that song, maybe we could sing that song in closing, J-O-Y. What's that song mean, children? Oh, you know what? I totally forgot. I had blank children's note cards out there, and I did that on purpose. I thought you you've had a lot of practice. I thought maybe you could fill those out today without any help. So I think some of you did anyway. I was going to say something about that at the beginning. But maybe we could sing that song. Children, what does J-O-Y stand for? Can hear you. I can't hear anybody. Huh? Jesus, others, you. Yeah. And we're talking about that. Having the mind of Christ in relation to God, in relation to others, and the next time we're going to have to ourselves. J-O-Y. If we have the mind of Christ in those three areas, toward God, the mind of Christ toward God, the mind of Christ toward others, and the mind of Christ toward ourselves, we'll have joy. And we'll be a blessing. Okay? Let's stand together and have prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are so patient with us, Lord, as we look at this subject and we realize how much our lives focus on ourselves, how much we want to be served, and how much we want to be loved, and how much we want to be encouraged, and how easily we give up when those things don't happen. Help us, Lord, to have the mind of Christ and be willing to lay down our lives so that others can be loved, so that others can be served, so that others can be encouraged. Just show us, Lord, in the coming days, by your Spirit, how this can be practical and real in our everyday lives. We'll give you the honor and the glory for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.